Three state agencies yesterday released their recommendations on how to regulate medical marijuana. Those regulations lay out how the state should handle everything from possession to taxation. Austin Jenkins is our Olympia correspondent and joins me now. Hi, Austin.
Good afternoon, Marcy.
Nice to be with you. I'm assuming these were joint recommendations, not three separate sets of regulations.
They are joint.
Well, what are some of the key points?
Well, these are fairly detailed and prescribed proposed regulations, and I think that they reflect the fact that the State Liquor Board for the last almost year now has been working to create a very tightly regulated recreational marijuana market. And so they've kind of taken that mindset, it looks like, and applied that as an overlay to the largely unregulated wild, wild west that is the medical marijuana environment right now, and basically said, look, no more collective gardens, no more home grows. They're going to get tough with the licensing or the issuance of the card that says you're a medical marijuana patient. And they're basically saying that under these proposals, a medical marijuana patient would have to go to a 502 approved store, a recreational store that has special permission to also sell medical marijuana. That they basically want to pull this unregulated world into the 502 regulated one.
Well, from the outside, that seems to make sense. I know that many people involved in the sale and use of medical marijuana don't agree with me on that point. These particular regulations are recommendations. They aren't the final bill, and I'm confused as to how the process proceeds. It's different than the 502.
It is indeed different, and you're right, that basically the Liquor Control Board under 502, which was voter approved, was tasked with setting up the system and doing so with public input, but that was a rulesmaking process. This is basically the legislature tasking these state agencies, Liquor Control, Department of Health, and Department of Revenue, with coming up with recommendations, seeking some public feedback, and then reporting to the legislature in January, and the legislature could do something with it, do nothing with it, or take some pieces and bits and kind of put their own package together.
What kind of public input will they be soliciting?
At this point, they're asking for comments over the next several weeks, and then they will nip and tuck, make some changes, and send that final packet of recommendations to the legislature.
One of the questions that we've had thinking about the fact that these regulations were going to come out was, what is really the difference between the product itself, between medical marijuana and recreational pot?
Yeah, that's a good question. In fact, in talking with Carl Keisch, who runs the Seattle Medical Marijuana Association, he said one key concern he has about moving into this 502 retail store environment is that the selection won't be what it is in a medical access point now. Now, he's the first to admit that the medical marijuana system as it exists in the state right now is far from ideal. He thinks that there's a lot of access points that are problematic, but he's running a collective garden and an access point, and he says he's tailoring to the medical marijuana patient. He's concerned the retail stores won't do that, and he noted, and I think he's right, that under 502, the labeling for the medical, for the recreational pot cannot make medicinal claims, and so he's concerned that a patient will walk in and won't even really know what to buy.
Well, it sounds like I wouldn't know what to buy if I walked in. If there really are that many types for sale, who knew? So this is now, there's some public input, and then it all goes to the state legislature to vote on?
Yeah, and the time might be right, because the legislature has sort of previously stepped into this environment and, in fact, passed legislation a few years ago before 502. And Governor Gregoire, the governor at the time, vetoed the bill and said she felt like it was putting state employees in legal straits to be trying to enforce this. So she vetoed it. Now we've got 502. We've got the feds, the Obama administration saying that they're not going to interfere. There's some clearer lines now. And we've got recreational regulated pot coming online. And everybody, probably chief among them, are state pot consultants saying to have an unregulated gray or black market is going to just undermine everything the Liquor Control Board is has been trying to build for the last year.
I just last question has to do with the relative speed with which the state legislature would act on this. We saw how long it took for the recreational pot regulations to be put into effect by one organization. We don't even have a transportation bill right now. Why would anybody jump on these medical marijuana regulations?
Well, this is a short 60-day session, and it's an election year. So you're right, time is short. The couple of factors to keep in consideration here, there are some legislators that are very interested in this on both sides. They're advocates for the medical marijuana patients. There are people who come more from a law enforcement standpoint that really want to make sure there isn't a black or gray market. So they're motivated to do something. And it helps the legislature when they've had agencies look at this and actually deliver to them some proposed regulations. They don't have to create this from whole cloth. And I'll just finally add that Carl, who runs the Seattle Medical Marijuana Association, admits that his constituencies, the medical marijuana constituencies, are split right now, and they have a credibility gap with legislators, so they may not be in the best position to defend against this happening.
Austin Jenkins, our Olympia correspondent, thanks for being with us.